Hello, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. And Love Letters Live, is primarily a show about gratitude felt, gratitude expressed, love felt and expressed on paper, stamped and mailed to someone. And although there are certainly a lot of ways to express how you feel, I think really nothing beats a love letter for the long-lasting quality. And it can be for any reason at all, and it can be to absolutely anyone at all, somebody here or somebody not here. And right. Teresa and I always say what you feel while you still have the chance.
Right.
And that really means while you're still here on this earth also, why don't you just put it down in writing and have it as an important part of your own history.
Right. So love letters are to anyone at all. They can be about romance, but they go way beyond romance. Wouldn't you agree with that, Janet?
I certainly would. And I think most love letters really are beyond romance. I mean, that's kind of a small niche within the whole framework of love letters, as we're going to see in just a minute when we introduce our guest.
Yes, please introduce our guest for today.
Okay, our guest today is Cheyenne Mercedes Danner, and you're a student where? And what grade?
I'm in eighth grade, and the school is going through transition right now, and so we're calling it the Small Middle School for Equity, but we're changing it to Excelsior Middle School.
Okay, but the most important thing is that you're in the eighth grade, and writing a love letter is something that makes sense to you, and I think it's something that makes sense to a lot of us as teenagers. You know, who feels more strongly than somebody at this age, I think. So have you written love letters before?
Well, I'm a poet, mm-hmm. and so not necessarily love letters, but just like letters like of how I'm feeling, mm-hmm. you know. And so
do you do them as letters? Do you mail them to someone, or are they a collection of yours?
Well, they're more of a collection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's important because a love letter, the way I see and define a love letter, is something that's mailed to someone mm-hmm. and shared in that way. And that doesn't mean that other things that you write aren't beautiful and emotionally important and a wonderful thing for somebody to find someday as for how you feel. But talk a little bit about your life. I know you live with your grandma.
Yeah, I live with my grandma, and my mom always comes and visits us and mm-hmm. everything. But we live in San Francisco, of course, and it's really cool because, like, my whole family is, like, in one little area.
Oh, your mom too?
Well, yeah, my mom lives in San Francisco, too. Like,
nice.
We're mostly in the Excelsior District.
Mm-hmm.
And so my great-grandparents, my great-grandma and my great-grandpa, they live, like, a couple blocks away from us.
Oh, so you've really got a big family right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we do.
Nice. So tell me, what things have been most important to you growing up, like meant the most to you with your family?
Well,
do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm an only child, actually.
You're the family gem.
Yeah. But, probably I would say music.
Mm-hmm.
Music has been a big part of my life and my family.
And
because we're a very musical family because I have two uncles and one grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and they're brothers. And each one of them play 8 instruments each.
Wow.
Each of them.
Self-taught?
Not self-taught, but they took lessons mm-hmm. and everything. But I think two of them have a degree in music or something like that. I forget.
Wonderful. And do they perform? I mean, is that what they
yeah,
do for
Yeah, they were in a band called Brotherly Love. And they sort of, you know, passed it on to my mom. And then my grandmother got some of that. And then now me.
And now you. But
yeah.
I know you dance. So would
yeah.
you say that that musical
well, yeah.
tendency has translated to...
Well, yeah, to dancing because you need music to dance. Well, most of the time.
Well, and dancing is. I mean...
Part of
sometimes yeah. the dancing, in particular American percussive, which I know you do.
Yeah.
A.K.A. clogging.
Clogging.
is the music, is the
yeah.
rhythm. I mean, sometimes we do a cappella pieces where mm-hmm. the noise. Oh, and there was that whole tap thing called bringing the noise or, mm-hmm. well, anyway, it was wonderful. So tap as the, okay. So let's get right to your love letter because I can see that you've written it already.
Yeah.
And when we talked about it, you talked about wanting to write to...
My uncle Jerry.
And that's your...
My grandmother's brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did he play a part in your life? What was he to you? And what did you do with him? And
I've been living with my grandma since I was two.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been renting a house, and he was helping her, and so he lived with us. And then we had moved, and maybe when I was about five, and then they bought a house. And so they
your
have
grandma
been,
and your uncle?
And my uncle, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so they were living with each other for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had been living with him since I was 2 years old. And so my father, mm-hmm. he lives in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so my uncle was more like a father to me.
Sure.
And so we would go to the park all the time since we live like right next to it. And he would be teaching me. He would teach me, like, baseball and how to be tougher than a girl, than a girly girl. And he would also, like, help me with my homework. And he was big on studying. So he was very tough on me in that part. So.
What did he help you with?
Well, homework, mostly math.
Uh-huh.
Math was really
hard. Oh, he
hard.
Was good at that?
Yeah.
He was good at math, of course.
Yeah, yeah, he was really good at that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really much of a musician, though.
Oh, he wasn't
don't think.
One of the, oh.
No, he wasn't one of those uncles.
Okay.
My grandmother married one of them.
What did you call him?
Uncle Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
My Uncle Jerry.
Mm-hmm. And what ways was he strong for you?
Well,
did he ever have to come to your defense or tell you about things or
taught
you things about life?
Yeah, he was, I don't know, he really understood me a lot because we had a lot in common.
What?
We loved, like, sports. Sports was a big part of it. And
what sports did you do with him?
Well, I love baseball. Baseball, mm-hmm. not softball, baseball.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually on a team right now. And I probably wouldn't be on the team if it weren't for him. And I'm sad that he didn't get to see me get on the team. But
so tell us why.
Well, he died in 2002, around that time.
You've been sick?
He had cancer of the liver.
Oh.
And he had hepatitis. I forget which one it was,
mm-hmm.
but he had that. And so when he went for surgery, they put like too much of these like little microorganism thingies in it, and so it was too strong for his liver, and so his kidneys failed and all that stuff. So.
And he was young.
Yeah, he was only around 53, I think, around there.
So that must have been awful for you and
yeah.
your grandma and for everybody.
Yeah, it was.
But you were with him
well,
all the way to the end?
Yeah.
Still?
I didn't get to see him
mm-hmm.
at the last part because I wasn't allowed inside.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was there right before he went in and right when he got out of surgery. And so I was...
So you were really his girl.
Yeah.
I mean, he saw...
He saw me... not much of a niece, but more like a daughter, you know?
I didn't see that.
So,
was he ever married?
Yeah, he was married, and he had two children.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, and, one of which is living with us right now, his daughter.
Uh-huh.
And,
how old is she?
She's in her 20s.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure how old she is.
Yeah, but older. I mean, older than you, by a good
yeah.
way. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I think without him, I wouldn't have been able to make it this far, you know, like in school and just in life, you
mm-hmm.
know, and just like my self-esteem and everything.
I can see how good that is. I've
yeah.
known you for a while. That's nice. And you attribute some of that to him?
Yes, I do.
I wish all of our listeners could see Cheyenne.
Right?
Yeah, she's just a glow.
This is one of those moments where it should be television
yeah.
on radio. Cheyenne is so gorgeous and so cute. Such a sparkler.
Thank you.
With a pink corduroy baseball hat.
Yeah.
Not softball.
Okay.
Well, so I mean, I'm asking just to give you the chance to say it out loud because I think it's kind of clear, but who gets your love letter?
My uncle.
Okay.
My uncle, of course.
Your Uncle Jerry. So what are the things with, I want to ask you just to read it in a couple of minutes, and I want to know, when you wrote this letter, did you kind of have a plan?
Well, I don't know, like, also when I'm writing poetry, it's the same, like, it just comes out.
Okay.
And so, whatever I'm thinking at that second, I just write down.
But you knew pretty much what you wanted him to know?
Yeah. I pretty much knew what I wanted to tell him.
What were the things that you wanted to say to him?
Just how much he meant to me, and that he was a big part of my life, and that we're all going to miss him, and it feels like he's still here with us, you know?
That's a really important thing, yes. And in a way, when somebody's gone, as long as they're in your heart and in your thoughts, they are still here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you want to do...
Just a quick reminder to our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, Love Letters Live. We are here every week at this time, and hope you'll join us.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask you, Cheyenne, just to read the letter in a minute, and I just want to say to people listening, there is no age too young to write love letters. I mean, as long as somebody can hold a pen and write. But there's no age, and some of the most beautiful letters are really from young people and younger children, because I think, you know, when we're younger,
we can express ourselves more. Yeah.
I think sometimes that's true. We haven't learned to block ourselves in certain ways.
Yeah, I actually was a better poet at age 9 than I am now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because of that?
Well, yeah, basically because of that.
You feel funny saying certain things now that you didn't, or what?
Well, I think because, like, I'm older and, I don't know, things mean different things to me. And, I don't know, maybe I get a little embarrassed and stuff and... since I am in the eighth grade, you know.
Yes, of course.
And by the way, that's something I think really to talk about, because sometimes, usually I say to people, are there, what have you never said to him or to her, the person you're writing the letter to, that you would really like to say?
Yeah.
And that you've never said because you've been embarrassed or thought it made you look goofy or too vulnerable or like a wimp.
Yeah.
You know, or just you wouldn't want other people to see it. And then when you write it down, not only is it not so embarrassing, or it doesn't have to be secret, it's a nice thing to share with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why don't you just read what you wrote to Uncle Jerry? And
okay.
I want to say, I can see it's in your own handwriting,
yes,
which is perfect. Okay.
Okay. Dear Uncle Jerry, my life has changed since you've gone, but I try to keep it the same. You are a big part of my life. Now I have a hole in my, a hole that cannot be mended. It's a hole in my heart. We all miss you, you probably already know. It's because we love you with all of our hearts. There's no one that can replace you because of all that you've done. There were things that you've done that we want you to know that we are truly sorry for. Please forgive us. There were things that you were sorry for and we've already forgiven you for. These holidays have been hard and will be hard without you. There's so much to tell you. I wish you were here. I play baseball now. Thanks for teaching me. You really helped me, and now I'm on a team. You helped me in school. I could never have done it without you. I'm sad that you're gone, but I'm happy you're not in pain anymore. Grandma Cleo still cries in sight of your eyes. Grandpa's in pain. He doesn't try to show it. Your sister smokes all the time to calm her nerves. My mom is dreadfully sorry she couldn't make it to your funeral. I'm sorry it was just too hard for me. I didn't want to see you go forever. You know I cried for 3 hours when I realized you were gone. I really, really miss you. Never say goodbye, because it takes away the thought of us ever meeting again. I love you, Jerry, and I always will. We all will. You were like a father to me. Your closest niece, Cheyenne Mercedes Danner. P.S. Keep your humor, because we always remember you for that.
Wonderful. That's just absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering, not that it really matters, because he'll know. Will the rest of your family know? Well, let's talk about who you're going to mail this to.
Well, I want to mail this to my great-grandma, Grandma
okay.
Cleo,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, she really misses him. That was
sure.
her only son.
Ugh.
And I guess she was more closer to him than my grandma. My grandma was more of, you know, on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like the little baby for her, you know. And she really misses him. And I think that if we show her how much we miss him too, that she'll feel more comfortable to show her feelings, you know.
Now, that's a wonderful motivation. And so really to inspire her.
Yeah.
And to let her know she's not alone by any means.
Exactly.
You know what else, what else your letter reminds me of is that you've told him of the things that he did for you and that he probably didn't even realize he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And how nice it is. Too bad he can't receive this letter in the form that you've written it, mm-hmm. but how nice to say those things to people through our love letters, to let them know of the little things that they've done that they've probably forgotten, but mm-hmm. we haven't.
Mm-hmm. And I was also going to put it in an envelope and put it on his grave.
Oh, so. Yes. Okay. So you need to make a couple of copies.
Yeah.
Will you do them each by hand in your...
Yeah,
oh,
I will.
Girl. Okay. Because you're going to send them each as originals. And
yeah.
Stuff, and you make a copy for yourself.
Yeah, to keep
so
that, it.
Yes. And so I think it's also really nice that you came out and you acknowledged, I mean, even though he was kind of everything to you as a father,
mm-hmm.
you were easy in saying things you did that you're sorry for and we've forgiven you.
Yeah.
And things that we've done that you've forgiven us. So there's that. It's not all just trying to put the best side on everything. It's
yeah.
kind of a human.
Yeah, lovely. Exactly. Because not everybody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
That's
exactly.
better, right? More than not everybody's
yeah.
perfect. Yeah. And of course, being perfect is so irritating.
Yeah.
Who wants it?
It's hard to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's harder to be around people who think they are. Pretend to be. Okay. So that was beautiful, darling. I think that's wonderful. And you have it on notebook stationery.
Yeah.
Which I think is great because you're
the... I was writing it at school, actually, and I don't know, I thought about it, and I'm like, I have to write it now, you
Perfect.
Know? I don't want the feeling that I'm feeling now to leave, you know?
How excellent. Yes. That's such a good point.
This actually has happened with a number of our guests, because our process is that Janet always chats with our guests before they come on the show, and sometimes people are inspired immediately to write
yes.
the letters
mm-hmm.
before they even get here,
For
like
exactly.
Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. And sometimes we just talk about building the letter while you're here, but this is wonderful to see mm-hmm. it all done. Good for you.
And you'll write more letters, I hope, Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Who else will you write to, do you think?
I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably write to, first my father,
uh-huh.
because I haven't really gotten to meet him yet.
Oh, really?
And I'm hoping to meet him.
Oh.
So.
Is that in the plans, or...?
Well, we haven't really. We're working towards it.
Do you know a lot about him or not?
Well,
too much?
Not too much mm-hmm. since I haven't seen him since I was two.
Yes.
But I know that I have a half brother, and that that my dad's really tall,
uh-huh.
and I'm hoping to be tall too.
Uh-huh.
And since my mom is short,
yeah.
But and everybody says that he's pretty handsome, so.
Well, you're gorgeous.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
You know, you got something there from somebody. I mean, your mom, too, but...
Yeah.
You actually don't... I met your mother once.
Yeah.
I
don't look anything like my mom.
Don't.
No, I probably look more like my grandmother than I do.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Okay. Genetics works.
Well, be sure in your letter to your father, be sure to tell him all of the things that you do so well.
Yeah. It's going to be a long letter.
Well, that's wonderful. And by the way, I think a love letter as an introduction... You know, we talk sometimes about a love letter to bring someone into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that kind of, you know, we usually see that as someone you have a crush on or that you're
cool.
want to have
it
a
relationship. It doesn't have to be necessarily that.
That's right. But so here's a beautiful example of a family member you've never met, your
mm-hmm.
half-brother.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to write to him and say hi
That's
there?
That's a good idea, too.
Uh-huh.
Although he is five, so.
Doesn't matter. You know something?
5-year-olds love to get letters.
Yeah.
And you know something? You could even put a drawing in it or something.
Yeah.
But to send him
a
letter and make sure they keep it for him and he can look at it when he's older.
That's a wonderful idea, actually.
Uh-huh.
I've got to do that.
You know, someday he'll say, I first met my half-sister when I was
little.
Through the mail.
Yeah.
Actually, I do that with, I have some young nieces and nephews, and I send them letters. I print them, even though I know they can't read them
yes.
yet, but I'm sure their parents read them, the notes,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if they're pleased, but I'm guessing that they're very pleased to get a letter with their own name on
oh,
the front,
yes.
addressed to them.
A sticker or a drawing
yeah.
on the
mm-hmm. I remember
them.
That.
But that printing, Teresa, you said, because when I write to my little nieces and nephews, or, you know, little kids in my life, I print their names on the envelope, because... You know, at 5 or 6, I mean, he may know the letters in his name.
Yeah.
So, Okay. So when you do that, will you let us know?
Yes, I will.
Will you maybe send us a copy so we can share?
Sure.
Okay. I love that. Okay, thank you, dear.
Which reminds us that we'd like to hear from all of our listeners who have letters to share with us. We'd love to read them on the air, if that's appropriate, anonymous or not. Just examples of the great variety of love letters there are.
Yes, and sharing them inspires other people, right. and gives people a hint of how they can approach things that they want to and don't know where to start.
Right. Well, I have a great example of that, actually, from a Dear Abby column of... So we know that love letters are out there and how nice when people share. So I'm just going to read this Dear Abby letter to Dear Abby. Dear Abby, I have read your column since I was in high school, and I want to share with you the results of one of your past columns. I remember reading on Mother's and Father's Day that the best way to honor your parents is to write them a letter telling them why you love them. My father passed away suddenly last week from a heart attack. He was 59 years old. My father had saved a letter I wrote to him in 1996 telling him why I loved him, which I found late last week. I read it at the memorial service as a tribute to what a wonderful person and parent he was. I want to thank you for your advice, Abby, as reading that letter was the most difficult thing I have ever done. However, it was the best possible way to honor my father.
How perfect.
Wow, that was deep.
Yes.
That was, wow.
And that just brings up another point that Janet and I often make, is to write the letters while you still have the chance. Here
yes,
is a, let's
exactly.
see, this was a man who wrote this letter while his father was still healthy and well, and then the father passed away quickly.
Mm.
So had he waited,
yes.
even waiting until, oh, I'll write it for Mother's Day or I'll write it for Father's Day,
right.
why wait?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why wait?
Write it, like you said, you know, while it's right there and,
yeah.
and you
while
know
you're
what
feeling
you're...
it, so you won't forget what you want to say.
Exactly. Thank you. And we talk sometimes about love letters as eulogies, or really more to the point, eulogies as love letters, and just a letter saying what's wonderful about a person and whatever you want, but, you know, all the qualities and what meant something to that person in life, and put it aside. Because so often, those, I can think of many examples of people I've worked with who have written things with an eye towards that, mm-hmm. knowing that someday this will be a beautiful thing to remember a person by.
Mm-hmm. And that they keep these.
Yes. And if I find with people, and it makes sense to me, that if you lost somebody, you have a couple of days to put something together that makes that person shine, and you can't. You're just too heartbroken. You're
right.
in grief. It's a terrible time. You can't get your thoughts straight.
Just like I cried for 3 hours.
That I was going to say. So. You said that, yes.
Yeah, that was really hard for me.
Yes, and people cry for 3 hours, and then they're okay for a couple of hours, and then it comes again in waves,
yeah.
and you can't think straight. So
no.
it's wonderful to have how you feel down on paper, just documented.
Yes.
And then the person has the joy of reading it while they're still
yes.
able to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And reading it and keeping it. And, you know, when your great-grandma gets this, when your Grandma Cleo gets this, it's going to be something that you've touched. I mean, I can see it's even a little crumpled there in the
yeah.
corner. It's just, you know, it's something that's been a part of your life. It's felt the touch of your hand,
mm-hmm.
and it'll feel it's about her son, and then it'll be something she can touch.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, I think.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something about something that you said in reminded me of this, how important it is for parents to help their young children begin writing letters. And even before they're able to write, to have them draw pictures to
mm-hmm.
send to grandmas, grandpas, people that they love.
Yes.
It's a great way to start. And then you will hope that as they grow older, then these letters, the thank you letters, things
uh-huh.
will just flow.
Loving thank you letters. And I actually, my daughters write thank you letters immediately.
Right.
And it's just part of their life. It's something that they apparently like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that they were really taught to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people every once in a while will call me and say, oh, I got the sweetest thank you letter from your daughter. And like she deserves a gold star for that.
Right.
You know, that's just, first of all, good manners. But it should be such a natural part of life.
Yeah, it should.
And
just
I can see
writing.
It is, yes, exactly. Yeah.
And right away too. Not waiting to,
yes,
to send a thank you.
Right.
Because there are love letters. That's right. A great opportunity to send a love letter.
It really is. And sometimes people do that by email, and a phone call is certainly a perfectly acceptable way to say thank you. But it's not the same as seeing that sparkling little envelope on top of your mail pile. You know, your otherwise really dismal mail pile of bills and ads and nice-looking catalogs, but still. And talking about not making cell phone calls, you have a cell phone, Cheyenne.
Yes,
very
I do.
Very cute rose-colored thing.
It's a pink Razr.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And what's the main quality of this thing?
Well, it doesn't work.
There you go. So, however, I said, well, why in the world are you carrying one? I mean, just for, like, jewelry, and you said...
Because it shows the time, and it has an alarm clock and a calendar.
So that's great. So a cell phone has lots of functions, and when it comes to a love letter...
And a camera, so...
Okay. But you don't use it for love messages?
No.
Good for you. Okay. Not that they're not welcome.
Yeah.
But they're not the same.
No, but
okay.
They don't last the way a love letter...
Yes. Teresa walked into the studio this morning and said, look what I got, a text message. It was from her daughter, and it said...
Good morning, sunshine.
And then it said positive.
Yes.
And you were thrilled.
Yes.
Of course.
But I had to, when I touched it to turn it to silent for this show, it went away.
Right. So it's a welcome love spurt, and you know that your sweet daughter, who's all the way across the country, was
thinking of me.
Thinking of you and awakened positive.
Yes.
And what parent doesn't want to know that?
Right.
Okay.
Well, Janet, any last words of wisdom for our viewers? We have a few minutes, not viewers, our listeners.
Our listeners.
We have a few minutes left.
Well, you know...
A quick tip about love letters.
Okay, a quick tip about love letters. I want to draw the distinction, because we talk sometimes about letters that are loving, you know, and they're chatty and they've got news in them, and those are wonderful, but I think there's a difference between a loving letter and a real love letter. And I think, as you could see in Cheyenne's letter, I think a real love letter is about the other guy, primarily. It's not just how you spent your day and all the interesting things that you want to share, but a real love letter is about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be about you in as much as how the other person makes you feel.
Yes.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And what you've been able to accomplish because of the other person's mm-hmm. contribution or qualities. But a good love letter, if you really want to write one, should be about the other guy. And it's nice to start with some kind of questionnaire and just start putting down qualities of mm-hmm. the other person that you want that person to know, you remember, and you treasure, and you feel.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cheyenne, for joining us today. This has been wonderful.
You're very welcome.
We love to hear from our listeners, so we encourage all of you to send us your email. This is where email is so wonderful. You can visit us at www.loveletterslive.com. Ask questions of Janet. Share your letters with us. And listen to past programs. They're all there for your enjoyment.
On our website. And also that sharing things. If you have something that you've written that you're thrilled with, please share it with us if you'd like to.
Right. So thank you again for joining us. And we hope you'll tune in every week at this time on KUSF 90.3 FM.
And remember, if you think that you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just keep in mind that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So, until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
And Cheyenne.
Yes.